lives, that we are able to freely come to this place and worship you, to proclaim the triumphs of your grace. Lord God, we are in awe of you, your glory, your grace freely given to us, Lord God. Speak to us through your word now, we pray. Amen. So as I was preparing for the dedication and speaking with Neil and Dawn about why they named Noah Campbell and Alice Joy and the significance of their names, I was feeling much less spiritual. You know, Chloe and I, we loved the name April, so we chose April. We happened to be married in April, you know, but we just loved the name April, Chloe especially, and it was a girl, so she got to choose. But if it's a boy, you know, Artaxerxes, one of these names, going to be a good, strong name. But I was feeling less spiritual, you know, because they're so significant, so meaningful. But April's middle name. That's where we bring it back. April Grace O'Brien. Grace. That's what this is all about. That's why we are here. God's grace in our lives. That amazing grace of God. God's grace is absolutely, completely free. We've done nothing to earn it, to deserve it. We don't deserve the grace, the love of God given to us. You know, we've all fallen short. And when I look at my life, the things I've done, how I've lived my life, so much of it is in opposition to God and hasn't honored him, hasn't honored God's creation, yet God loves me. God loves me, and he has bestowed his grace and it has flowed into my life. And God loves you. God loves every single one of you. And if that's all you hear this morning, I pray that is what you would hear this morning, that you would know God loves you. God loves each and every one of us with an amazing grace that we don't deserve. But when we embrace that love, that grace of God that's given to us in Jesus, when we embrace that, our lives completely change. Completely change. We're completely transformed. Like the poet, the musician, the prophet, Kanye West, says, when you call on Jesus' name, you will never be the same. That's what he says. That's so true. When you call on Jesus' name, and when you profess he is Lord, he's Savior, you will never be the same. Your whole life is completely changed and transformed. And we're thinking about sharing that truth of God's grace this morning. We're thinking about mission as a church, and we're going through the mission-shaped living course in life groups, and some of us reading through the mission-shaped grace book as well. So we're thinking about sharing that grace of God this morning. And the mission-shaped living course is based upon Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. And that's where we're going to be looking at this morning. Luke 10, verses 1 to 12. And this is where Jesus is sending out the 72 disciples into the towns, the places that he's planning to go. So we'll look at the first four verses of Luke chapter 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These are his instructions, the instructions of Jesus to his disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now go, and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, no traveler's bag, no extra pair of sandals, and don't stop and greet anyone on the road. So I just want to think about two things this morning, and that is connecting up and connecting out. I just want to think about the rhythm, the pattern, the flow of the life of a disciple of Jesus. Now, when I've got a big task in front of me, say I've had a really busy week, and Chloe's had a really busy week, my wife, and if that happens, sometimes, I'll confess, I don't do all the chores I'm meant to do. If the week's been really busy and the house can maybe get a little bit neglected, do we all know those kind of weeks? We've had a really busy week. If you don't, please speak to me afterwards. I need to know your wisdom, your secrets. But it can happen, you know, you have a really busy week, the house can get a little bit neglected, you just don't keep on top of it, and by the end of the week, it could be in a sorry state. Now, when I've got that big task in front of me to clean the house, and do all that work, I'm inclined to just bash on with it. I've not got a plan. If I see it needs done, I just fumble along, start doing things, and grind my way through all the things that I've mounted up over the week and need done. That's how I approach these things. But Chloe, she writes lists. She's got a system, protocols, priorities, and would systematically check things off. You know, she's got a theory behind it all, and she is far more effective at everything than I. So she knocks it all off and does it great when she's got a big task in front of her, and yeah, we get things done, you know. But the disciples in this passage, they had a huge task in front of them. They had a huge job to do. The harvest was plentiful. It was plentiful. And so what is the first instruction of Jesus in these verses? What is the first thing that Jesus asks his disciples to do? The first thing, the primary thing that Jesus asks us to do. The harvest is plentiful, so pray to the Lord of the harvest. Connect up. Rely on God. Look to God. You know, not like what I would do where my house being a mess, fumbling in and just grinding away at things, but look to the Lord of the harvest before you go, before you engage in mission and start with this huge task. Pray to the Lord in charge of the harvest. Connect up. And when we look at the rhythms, the patterns, the flow of our life, you know, are we connecting up when we have these big things to do, when we're thinking about mission? You know, mission's a huge task. So many people don't know Jesus is their Lord, a huge task. Are we connecting up? Are we relying on God? Are we praying to the Lord of the harvest for his provision in our need? You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In our need, we pray for more. Workers connecting up, looking to God, relying on him, and not relying on our own weakness, because that's when we get burnt out emotionally, physically, spiritually. The first instruction of Jesus to his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The book that we're going through, Mission Shaped Grace, some of us are reading as the church. John McGinley, the author, writes about a monk called Brother Lawrence. He was a monk in the 1600s in France, and he was born into extreme poverty. He didn't have much of anything his whole life. His mum and dad were both peasants. And he was walking along one winter's day, and he saw a tree. And God revealed himself to this man through a tree of all things. Just a tree in winter. And he saw that tree, and it was frozen over, seemingly lifeless. It had no leaves on it, no fruit. And it struck Lawrence that in a matter of days, in a matter of weeks, just a few months, that frozen tree that appeared lifeless would be completely renewed, that it would have life, that it would be covered in leaves, and in a little while there would be fruit on that tree. And God revealed himself to Lawrence through that divine epiphany that through the seasons, God's at work in all seasons of life, in winter and in summer. God is at work. And that completely changed Lawrence's life. He was 18 when he saw that tree. God revealed himself to him. He was in the military. His name was Nicholas at the time. But God revealed himself through a tree of all things. And then Lawrence joined a monastery. He became a monk. I was given the name Brother Lawrence, and he spends the rest of his life thinking about connecting up, thinking about communing with God, constantly establishing rhythms and a pattern of connecting to God in our lives. And he writes letters about this, and there's a book called Practicing the Presence of God that are all of Brother Lawrence's letters about how to establish a rhythm of connecting up in our lives, reminding ourselves of God's goodness through his creation, through trees, through the everyday, through the seemingly mundane things. God's at work in all the seasons of life, reminding ourselves of God's blessings and his work, the triumphs of his grace, and setting our mind on these things, on the truth of God, and not on the lies of the world. And that's what Brother Lawrence dedicated his whole life to. And monks, they had jobs to do in the monastery. And for Brother Lawrence, for the years, his whole life that he was a monk, his job was the kitchen. And he writes about how God revealed himself through the dishes. And I would often do the dishes, so I'm feeling pretty convicted about what Brother Lawrence writes. But we'll all be going home wanting to do the dishes after we hear this. He was saying that he would get a huge, huge bucket of these manky dishes. And as he took them and looked at the state they were in, he'd be reminded of the state he is in as fallen creation, the effect of sin in the life of his life and in all of creation, how sin affects our lives, while he's looking at these dishes that are needing cleaned. And then he would plunge it into the water, and that would be God's grace, us being submerged into the grace and love of God. And then the dirt and food would come off, and the dishes come up stainless, and that is a standing, stainless, washed in the blood of Jesus before our God. God revealed himself through the dishes of all things, a tree and the dishes. So you're all going to be going home wanting to do the dishes, you know? No need to turn on the dishwasher. God's going to reveal himself to me through the dishes, through the everyday things. As we lift our eyes, set our minds on him, connecting up, God is at work in all things, trees and dishes. So that's the first part of the flow of a disciple's life. First connecting up and then connecting out. So if we look at verses 5 to 12 in Luke 10. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from house to house. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and someone welcomes you, eat whatever they set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town off our feet to show we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you that even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on judgment day. So connecting up is the first part of the flow of a disciple's life, looking to God, practicing the presence of God every day, every moment in our lives, reminding ourselves of the truth of God and denying the lies of the world and Satan, and connecting out is the other part of that. And that's like our discipleship pathway in the church, being transformed, connecting up. We're transformed as we're in God's presence, living in relationship with God, and then changing our world, connecting out. So the life of a disciple is a bit like a river, the flow of a river. We receive God's grace, his goodness, his Holy Spirit, his blessings, and they should flow out from us. So our lives should be like a river. And Jesus describes the life of a disciple like a river in John 7. You know, those who believe in me will be filled with rivers of living waters, and that will flow from them. It says in John 7. And by that he meant the Holy Spirit, the verse goes on to say. So there is a flowing of receiving and of giving. Receiving, giving. That is the pattern, the rhythm of a disciple's life. But just like a river, you know, things, they could get blocked up. Things can get clogged up. And dams and obstacles, things can get put in place and stop that flow, that rhythm, that pattern of a disciple's life. And it can get clogged up, you know, up here and stop us receiving. And if we're not receiving, then what have we got to give? You know, it's just our own strength. If we're not filled daily with God's power, his spirit, his presence, if we're not practicing the presence of God. But the dam can also go up on the giving, so that we are receiving, but we're not giving. You know, we're coming to church, we're receiving, we're praying, we're studying God's word, but there isn't any giving. And if there isn't that flow outward, then we're not really a river, are we? We're a pond. We're a spiritual pond. If we're just receiving God's blessings, his grace, his goodness, his power flowing into our lives, but there's no giving, there's no flowing out, it's not a river then. You know, we're kind of a just stagnant water or a spiritual dead end, spiritual cul-de-sac if we're not giving. So our lives should reflect our river receiving God's goodness, his grace, his blessing, and then sharing that. As God forgives us, we forgive others. As God is gracious to us, we're gracious to others. So what is the flow of our lives? You know, what is the balance of our lives? Are we receiving enough? Are we spending time communing with God? Are we giving enough? What is that flow like when we think about our lives? Have obstacles gotten up? And has that flow of that river of the disciple of God, has that gotten messed up? Is that out of whack? Is that out of balance? And if so, we need to get back to the basics, the primary instruction of Jesus. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Let's sort our connecting up out. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest. The first thing Jesus asks us as his followers to do, look to him, rely on him. And then as God blesses us and we know his presence and goodness, that will be shared with others as we connect. And as we connect out, Jesus describes people's reactions in verse 6 of Luke 10. Some people will want to know the gospel. They'll want to know about God's goodness and his grace in their life. But the reality is, some people won't want to know. They will not accept us. They won't accept the message. And that is the reality of people's hearts. You know, I kind of find this a helpful example. If you think of a scale between 1 and 10, and 1 is a card-carrying atheist, and 10 is a committed follower of Jesus. Jesus is their Lord. And everyone's kind of on that spectrum in between 1 and 10. And very few encounters we have when we're sharing the gospel with someone, someone moved from a 1 to a 10. It happens, you know, that Damascus Road moment, when someone moves from a 1 to a 10, and it's amazing. But rarely will that happen. It'll normally be an 8 to a 9, a 1 to a 2, as you share the peace of God with people. But some people just won't want to hear. And what Jesus is saying is, share peace with them. Share a blessing of peace and see how they respond. Are they a person of peace, or do they not want the peace of God? My brother, he served in Afghanistan with the RAF. And when he was touring about towns and villages in Afghanistan, he would say the Arabic version of God's peace with you, Salaam Alaikum. So he would go up to people if there was someone that he thought looked maybe suspicious or that was staring at them. He would go up and say, you know, God's peace with you, Salaam Alaikum. And sometime, generally they would always say, Alaikum Salaam, God's peace back to you. But if they didn't, and they were not wishing peace upon my brother and the troops, then they knew, okay, might be a bit of resistance, and they would sharpen up. you know. And in a similar way, you know, share a nugget, test the waters with a blessing, share the peace of God with someone. Do they want the peace of God in their life or don't? And if they don't, that's fine. It's not the end of the world, but now you know where they stand. And who knows, by you saying, you know, God's peace be with you, God bless you, God loves you, God's got a plan for your life, He's got purposes for your life. In all seasons, God's at work, just sharing with them something of the gospel. They could have moved from a 1 to a 2. Who knows? God is at work in all things, using all things for those who love Him. At my mum and dad's house, they've got a huge garden at the back of their house, and there are 2 apple trees on either side of the garden. And my brother and I, when we were younger, we used to pelt these apples at each other and just have a full-out war. And this is likely why he joined the RAF, went to Afghanistan. It prepared him for war, you know. But we would, there were crab apples, cooking apples, if you know what they are. So they were quite small and they were rock hard. And we just really leather these at one another. There is a point to this. And the crab apples, though they're really small, when they would get riper, they would grow and they would kind of hang lower. And you could tell which apple was more ripe. It'd be easy to pluck off. You would just tap it and it would fall from the tree. But the smaller ones, you really had to pull them to take them off the tree. And in a similar way, that's how people can be. They could be at a 9 and just ready, so ready to hear the truth of the gospel, that there is hope, that there is life everlasting. And that when you share that truth with them, that God loves you, He's got a plan for your life. Share that eternal, everlasting hope with them. Like that apple, just that tap, and they fall from the tree into your hand. And that's all they need to hear. And with gentleness, with respect, with love, just be willing to test the waters, to share, as Jesus is asking His disciples, a blessing of peace with people. Yeah, God bless you. I'll be praying for that situation. If someone's sharing with you, a friend, do you want me to pray for that? Maybe pray for them then. And we believe in a God who heals, who restores that which is broken. And do you want me to pray for you? Just gently exploring and seeing where people are at and testing the waters. And another way that you could test the waters is invite them to Alpha. We've got an Alpha course coming up in January, and we're going to be thinking more next week. How do we invite people to Alpha, and how don't we? You know, how do you do it well? And that's a really easy way. You know, have you thought about the meaning of life? Of course they have. Everyone's thought about, what is this all about? What is the purpose in life? Have you thought about the gospel and God and the big questions in life, and just sharing that with them? We've got an Alpha course coming up, and inviting them along to that. So connecting up and connecting out. There you go. There's the Alpha course. Well done, Tony. So connecting up and connecting out. That is the flow, the rhythm of the life of the disciple. First, praying to the Lord of the harvest. And what we're going to do just now is have some time of prayer. We've got some PowerPoints about release. So we're going to just, as a church, as these PowerPoints flick through, if we could pray out loud, pray in 2s or 3s, or just pray yourself through these slides if we have them. If technology, yeah, there we go. Fantastic. So we'll take a couple of minutes just to pray through the work of release in Pakistan, for those in jail for the blasphemy laws, and for the church, for Christians, and for the oppressors as well, that they would come to a saving faith in Jesus. We'll do that for a few minutes. Almighty God, You're the Father of compassion. Please strengthen our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and around the globe, Lord God. Give hope to those falsely accused of blasphemy. Resource, releases partners as they share Your love. Lord, restrain those who wish your people harm. Lord, and reveal your grace, your gospel to them. Build your church in every country. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So the band are going to lead us in a final song of worship. Guardian, is it? Yep. So let's stand as we sing together.